Okay, we're going to start today from Kafaf Aleph Amud Aleph, about 15 lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Ashi. Okay, we're still on this Mishnah where we have a distinction between Mayim Sheyesh Lahem Self, Mayim Sheein Lahem Self. If you can see, then there's an assumption that maybe you could see them, and there's a machloket about it, whether we assume that you would have seen him get out, and therefore if you don't see him, we can assume he's dead. But then we saw all these cases where people survived under the water for a long period of time, like in the bor and in the cave at the Mechilat Tagim. But then we said that was only Mayim Sheein Lahem Self, because we don't really see, we don't find these caves very often. Now, it doesn't mean they're not found at all, and it could be the case, but since we don't find it very often, we can rely on that and assume that if he was alive, we would have seen him come out, whereas this Mayim Sheein Lahem Self is more of a problem, since you never know, the guy could be survived somehow, and we're going to see a bunch of cases where people survived. Okay, we're going to see that now, just like the Mechila case we ended off with yesterday, and now we're going to see a different twist before we get there. Amar Rav Ashi, Hada Amru Rabana Mayim Sheein Lahem Self Ishto Asura, Hanemile Be'inish De'alma, Aval Tzurva Merabanan Lo. Okay, a tzurva merabana, which means he was a talmid chacham, this halacha is not relevant to him. His wife is not forbidden. Why? E desalik kala itle. The assumption was he was like a celebrity. If a celebrity gets out somewhere, everyone's going to know who he is, and therefore it's going to be obvious that he survived. Okay, they obviously weren't concerned that he was going to end up, you know, from one side of the Mediterranean to the other, or right that far off that really no one would know. But the assumption was he ended up in some other town, and since he wasn't a nobody but a popular person, people would know. Vilohi, but then they say no, but that's not the case. Rav Ashi says this, but the Gemara doesn't accept this. Okay, it's not clear who says this, who says vilohi, but they say vilohi. Loshna inish da'alma, veloshna tzurvim rabbanan, di'evit in lechatchila lo. Okay, and we're going to see this later. Basically, there's a big distinction between whether the woman already got married or didn't yet get married. If she already got married based on this, then we're going to accept it. But if she hasn't, then we're not going to let her get married. Tanya, now we're going to see two stories. Amar Rabban Gamliel, Pam achat hayiti mahalech b'sfina, v'ra'iti sfina achat shenishbera. Okay, once I was on a boat, I saw another boat that broke. V'hayiti mitzte'er al tamid chacham sheba. And I was so sad because I knew there was a big Talmid Chacham on there, and I was very depressed. Umanu, and who is this big Talmid Chacham? Rabbi Akiva. Ukisha aliti bayabasha, babi yashav adam lefanai b'halacha. And when I got to the shore, I saw him sitting teaching halacha. I assume it doesn't mean immediately, but you know, later on, the next day, a few weeks later, I saw him judging. Amar, learning. Amar tilo bani mi halacha. How did you get saved? Amar li, okay, here's the source for surfing in the Torah, Rabbi Akiva knew how to surf. Daf shel svina nizdaben li, v'chol gal v'gal shaba alai nin'ati li lo roshi. Okay, I took a board from the boat, broken boat, I kind of put my head down on it, every time the wave came around, I'd put my head down, and I would ride the waves. Okay, so, mikan amru chachamim, this is a great line now, okay, they take a Meser Musar Haskel, okay? The moral of this story, or you can learn some nice lesson from this. Amru Chachamim im yavo rishaim al adam yina'aneh lo rosho. It's a great line, right? If bad things come your way, right? Bad people come your way, just put your head down. In other words, just give in to them. Just let it ride, right? Ride the waves, you know? People say it as a Musar Haskel, right? Just leave it. You know, put your head down, let it pass over you, and move on.
Except this sounds like an argument for passivity, for like not standing up in the face of.
Look, we all know situations that sometimes you're better off just, right? If they're arguing with you, if you get into their argument, it's like stooping to their level. Yeah. So that's really what he's saying here. Obviously, depending on the situation, sometimes you do have to stand up to Rishayim. I don't think it really is a model for passivity. It's just, this is a good tactic, right? If you. Anyway, okay. Now what's interesting is we're going to see, where is it? Lost my place. Okay. So now, Amarti Bo'otasha'a, okay, so Rabban Gamliel now says, Kam dolim divrei chachamim shamru mayim sheish lahem sof muteret, mayim she'en lahem sof asura. Okay, how great is it? Because look, I didn't see Rabbi Akiva get out of the water. Obviously, it was a big of water, and yet he somehow managed to come out. I didn't notice, and that's why it was good that Chachamim said that Ishto Asura, because really people can survive. Tanya, another brighter. Here is Rabbi Akiva in the Rabban Gamliel position. Okay, now it's a flip story. Not exactly flip, but different, right? He's playing a different role. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Pam achat hayiti mehalech b'sfina, v'ra'iti sfina achat shemitarefet bayam. I saw a boat going crazy, right, in a storm. V'ayiti mitzter al tamid chacham sheba, umanu, and who is this tamid chacham? Rabbi Meir. Kishaliti lemedinat kapotkia, bavi yashav v'dan lefanai b'halacha. Lo and behold, there was Rabbi Meir. Amarti lo b'ni mi ha'alcha, right? He uses the exact same lashon. Amar li, gal tradani, there was a wave that was, gal tradani lechavero, vechavero, lechavero, ad shekiani leyabasha. I got kicked from wave to wave until basically the waves kicked me all the way to the yabasha. Here, Dafka, the thing that, you know, hurt Rabbi Akiva that he figured out how to deal with, helped Rabbi Meir, and he was able to get. Amar ti bo tasha'a. Right, interesting, he didn't say it the first time, right? And maybe he was too shocked by the trauma of the event. But this time he says, Kam gdolim divrei chachamim shamru mayim sheyesh lahem sof ishto muteret, mayim shein lahem sof ishto asura. Right, last time was Rangabang Gamliel who said it. This time he saw it with his own eyes and he said it. Okay, there's a whole thing about this. If you notice, both these cases was a sfina, that there's something happened from the sfina. So there's a whole tshuva of the Mabit about this, okay? We talked about this after class yesterday. Okay, in the time of Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Shulchan Aruch, there was a whole thing, there was a boat that went down with a lot of Jews in it, and it's quoted down here. It's not in the English, unfortunately, but it's quoted in the Schottenstein. I didn't get to look it up inside, but he quotes that there was this whole issue where there was this boat, and the boat went down, and he basically matired all the wives to get remarried. And Rav Yosef Karo was very upset with him. And he didn't agree with him, and a lot of the person didn't agree with him. And his thing was this. He said that that the whole issue of Mayim She'en Lahem Sof was only someone who fell into the water, and not if someone was in a boat. Okay? That the other cases we saw, right? Nafal, the Mishnah says, Nafal Lamayim. Okay? And he claims if people are in a boat, they're in like a room in a boat, and that then they could get stuck, and the assumption is that they're locked in there and it's not going to work. So he claims based on that, he basically limits, what's the issue here? And we'll talk about this more tomorrow. Seth will bring up cases in the Siyum about how they deal with, you know, 9/11 and issues like that, where they had to deal with the fact that on the one hand, the halacha says you have to assume the guy might be alive. On the other hand, you have these poor women who are stuck and it's a really bad situation. At a certain point, you can assume these guys are not coming back. So the Mabit basically made this big heter based on an interpretation of the Gemara where he said, oh, the Mishnah says nafal. It's only nafal, not if you're in a boat. And from a boat, you have this accident. And people got very angry at him. But according to the note here, it says that even though a lot of people disagree with him, first of all, it seems he didn't change his opinion. He's still passing that way for those women. And additionally, it says that later on, people used his tshuva as like a snifla hatir, which means like if they had some other reason to be matir, they added this, even though maybe not everyone agreed. But if we have that plus another thing, which is very common in Shelot Tshuvot, that they kind of add in other pieces, even if not everyone agrees with them. It's actually really interesting. It's very common that someone will have this big heter, people won't really rely on it, but as time goes on, it gets quoted here and there, and eventually people end up relying on it. I'll give you a great example, and then we'll move on. Non-married women not covering their hair. Okay? Originally, non-married women covered their hair also. And the Rav Yah in the around 11 to 1200s, he's an Ashkenazi posek, and he says that since it's very common now for non-married women not to cover their hair, it's okay to make a bracha if they're not covering their hair, okay, which was like a big chiddush. Now, most people didn't have his chiddush at the time, but as time went on, that obviously became the norm until it even went so far as to say, not only do they not have to, you know, can you make a bracha if their hair isn't covered? It even went so far as to say, well, they obviously don't have to cover their hair. And then the Aruch HaShulchan, okay, 600 years later, quotes it in a different context. And he says, well, nowadays that many married women don't cover their hair, it's okay to make a bracha kenegdam. Now, he of course, says, Bava notenu harabim, and women aren't covering their hair, and that's not a good thing. But he says that it's because it's become so common, he quotes basically the Rav Yah, because it's no longer considered erva for making a bracha, it's a non-issue. And then, obviously, people want to take that one step further, that, oh, well, if people... Right, then you could say, well, if a lot of people aren't covering their hair, then it's not even erva, and maybe there's not even an issue. So that's how psakim go as things go on, right? They kind of get extended to all different places. Okay. Even if they're not originally accepted. Right, but b'diavad lechatchila doesn't give you wiggle room to matir women, milchatchila. It does say b'diavad it's okay, but it's pretty clear that lechatchila lo. I mean, that's what they say here, right? That anyway, we'll see also. They go on about the lechatchila b'diavad. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, nafal legov arayot. Okay, now this is a good, this is one of the cases, again, we're going to, Seth is going to bring these cases up tomorrow, where the 9-11 sugar comes from, the gov, okay? It's like falling into, we'll see, it's not the gov arayot, it's the one we're going to see later, the kivshana esh. Okay? So, this all reminds us of Daniel, yeah, the gov arayot, the kivshana esh. Nafal legov arayot, you fall into a lion's den, eim idin alav, because the assumption is maybe the lion wasn't hungry and he didn't eat him. But if there were snakes and scorpions, there's no way the guy got out of it. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beter Omer, Af lechafuram le'an nechashim ve'akrabim, eim idin alaf. Why? Chashashim shema chabarhu. Maybe he's a guy who knows how to talk to snakes. Okay, there were guys who, you know. So now the Tanakama, so why don't they worry about that? Tanakama agav ititza mezakele. What's the story with the, if you fall into a pit of snakes, you're stepping on them. So you might be able to call snakes and calm them when you're not on top of them. But if you're on top of them, stepping on them, there's no way they're not going to bite you and attack you. Yeah, very pleasant. Tana Rabbanan. Nafal, at least we're not talking about body parts floating in the water. Tana Rabbanan. Nafal letoch kivshana esh. Okay, you fall into a furnace of fire. Mi'idimalav. We can assume you're dead. Okay, you fall into a big pot full of boiling wine and shemen. Mi'idim alav. Mishum Rabbi Acha amru, shal shemen mi'idim alav, mipnei shehu mav'ir. Shal yayin ein mi'idin alav, mipnei shehu mechabeh. What happens if you fall into a cauldron of oil? The oil is going to spill over the sides. Now, if the oil spills over the sides, what happens to the fire? It only gets stronger. If you have wine, at least according to the Gemara, at least right now, we'll see, the wine actually puts out the fire. Okay, Amrulo, but then they said to him, no, Tchilato Mechabeh, well, it's true that at first the wine's going to put out the fire, ultimately, Sofo Mavir. I was thinking about, you ever see people at the end of Havdalah pour the wine and it makes the whole thing go on fire? Yeah. So they say it might make it, you know, turn down for a second, but then it makes the fire up again, so there's really no distinction. I see, so it depends on how much, I was wondering, because yeah, people use alcohol and not wine. So anyway, I don't know why they think that ultimately, I don't know the truth of this, whether it's actually true. We can test it out if you want. Amar Rabbi Meir, Maaseh be'echad shenafal lebor gadol. Okay, so this is in the Mishnah. There was a Maaseh. He said he fell into a bor gadol, va'ala la'achar shlosha yamim. Okay, and he came out 3 days later. Tanya, Amrulo le Rabbi Meir, eim mezkirim maaseh nisim. Okay, we don't bring proofs from miracles. My maaseh nisim. So what was the maaseh nisim? Ilema dilo achiv lo ishti. If it was that he didn't eat it, what was the miracle here? Is it that he didn't eat and drink for 3 days and survived? V'haktiv, that's not a miracle. V'tzimu alai v'al tochlu v'al tishtu. Remember with Esther, she tells everybody fast for 3 days. Doesn't say that whether they ate at night or not, and she was just talking about fasting days, not nights. But anyway, we assume that they didn't eat for 3 days and three nights, and therefore, not eating, not drinking for 3 days, three nights, that wouldn't kill you. Ela dilo naim, what if it's that he didn't sleep? Okay, he didn't sleep for 3 days. And how do we know that this is an issue? Da'amar, the people can't survive this way, right? This is great. They don't bring proof from reality. They bring proof from halacha. Da'amar Rabbi Yochanan, shvu'a shelo ishan shlosha yamim, malkinoto. If someone says, I swear I'm not going to sleep for 3 days, give him malko. Why? It's a shvu'a chav, because it can't possibly be. Okay, nobody cannot sleep for 3 days. V'ishan la'alter. And in other words, they give him malko, and they make sure he goes to sleep right away. So it's not to fulfill the neder. The Rabbi Meir, so that's the miracle, basically, okay, that he didn't sleep. Amarav Kahana, kifin al gabe kifin havu. Rabbanan, deshisha havu. In other words, now the question is, why does Rabbi Meir think that we can count on this? In other words, why does he think it wasn't a miracle? So what does Rav Kahana say? That there were kifin al gabe kifin. In other words, there were these arches in the boar. Okay? There were sort of arches there, and he was able to kind of hang on an arch and get some sleep that way. So he actually did sleep. Rabbanan, why don't Rabbanan think he could have done that? Deshisha havu, they were made of marble. Now, if they're made of marble, it's very slippery. You're not going to be able to do it. Rabbi Meir, Yefshar de la Masra Fanaim Porta. Even if they were made of marble, it still could be he caught a few, you know, a few seconds of sleep here and there. Cat naps. Okay. Tana Rabbana. Masebi Bitosh on the Chunya Chofer Shechin. There was a guy in the Chunya who was who his job was to dig out these wells. Shanafla le bor hagadol. Okay, she fell. His daughter fell into the bor hagadol. Okay, the great bor. There was apparently some big well, and his daughter fell in. So his job was a well digger, and his daughter fell into the well. Ubal vodil Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Okay, so they go tell Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Sha'ari shona, right? He was a big. I think it was a miracle guy, right? We saw him with some miracles, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, in Tani. We saw he prayed for them, I think. And so they go to him. Shari Shona Amar Lahem Shalom. It's okay. She's in good shape. Shnia Amar Lahem Shalom. Shlishit Amar Lahem Alta. He said she got out of it. Amar La Biti Mihelach. Amar Lo, she said, right? So basically she gets out and they say, how'd you get out? So she said, Zachar Shel Rechelim, it's a Rachel is a sheep, a male sheep. Zachar Shel Rechelim, Nizdamenli, a sheep came by, Vizakem Manhigo, and there was a Zakem that was leading him. And basically the point is that the animal passed by the well and sensed her, right? He sniffed her and could tell there was someone there, and basically they got her out of the well. That's how she was discovered and that's how she was saved. Amrulo Naviata. They said, wow, how did you know? You're a prophet that you said this. Amarlo, lo Navianochi, velo ben Navianochi, right? That's a quote from Amos. Okay, I'm not a Navi, I'm not a ben Navi. Ela, davar shehat tzadik mitasek bo, yikashel bo zaro. In other words, if a tzadik is osek in a certain thing, it can't possibly be that his kids will be nichshal al yadezeh. So he was a well digger, okay, and he was apparently a tzadik. And because of that, it couldn't possibly be I knew that she wasn't going to die from a well. Okay? Yes. Yes, not a... Okay. Amar Rabbi Abba. Afa pichen. Okay, and in light of what you're saying, it's a dangerous statement. What happens? Even though this guy was a tzaddik, and what does he say? If you're a well digger, right, your kids aren't going to die by a well? Afa pichen. Amar Rabbi Abba. Afa pichen meit bino betzama. Okay, which actually is also connected to, right. So Shoshana's reaction was exactly the Gemara's reaction. In other words, be careful what you say because his son actually did die from thirst. Shneemar u'svivav nisara meod. Melamed shakadosh baruch hu medakdekim svivav kechut ha-sa'ara. Okay, from the, right. I'm sure you've heard this before, right? That Hashem is medakdek with tzaddikim like a hair, like a strand of hair, very, very careful. Like the people who are the most close to him sometimes get punished the most because he's much more midakdek in their ma'asim. And it comes from this pasuk, u'svivav nisara ma'od, okay, which they darshan, the svivav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu nisara milashon se'ar. Okay, it's not the pshat, but that's the way they darshan. Rabbi Chanina amar mehacha, he uses a different quote, El na'arat b'sok doshim rabav v'no'ra al kos vivav. Okay, that all those who surround him are in awe, and they're the ones whose God, you know, God reacts to the most. Okay, new Mishnah. Afilu shama min hanashim omrot meit ish ploni dayo. Okay, here's a good thing about, you hear things on the street, how do you relate to it? Do you take it seriously? Do you not take it seriously? So if you hear the women saying that somebody died, okay, here you have it, that's enough. Okay, here we've been talking about all these proofs, right? Now we just talk about, it's almost like proving Jewishness. You know, this whole thing in this country, you have to prove Jewishness when you get married. And like, what kind of proof do you have to go through? Is it just that people just know you're Jewish? Is that enough? Do you have to have like a real proof, right? Here's this whole thing. If people, the word on the street is that, you know, your family's been Jewish, that whoever recognized you from your community where you grew up, if they all think you're Jewish, then you're basically that. It's usually enough for Jewish. Now there's some issues within the rabbi, and sometimes it's a little more strict about it. But basically, I mean, they take it from a rabbi, but also there's, you know, or even proving singleness, right? Your friends come and they say, oh, I know this guy, I know he's single. You know, do you have to have a proof that there's never been a marriage certificate in this guy's name? Right? How much do you take people's word for it? So here they say, if the women are talking on the street that this guy died, that's enough. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afilu Shama Mina Tinokot, even if you're the children, Omrim, Hare Anu Hochim Lispo Velikvor Et Ish Ploni, Bein Shumit Kaven, Bein She'eno Mit Kaven. Okay, whether they're trying to tell you b'lashon edut, or whether they're just shooting the breeze and they say, "Oh yeah, we're going to this, we're going to this hesped of this guy." Okay, what the kids were doing going to hespedim, I'm not exactly sure. So that's enough to accept. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, we're going to get a little bit into this, these tinokot, and you might be choshesh that, we'll see, it's funny, the Gemara raises some interesting suggestions about what they might actually mean, and they might not actually mean they're going to the hesped of this guy. Rabbi Yehuda ben, but the Mishnah seems to say yes. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Omer be Yisrael af al pi shumit kavein. If it's a Jew, we accept his testimony whether he's intending it as edut or whether he's just saying, this guy's dead, and he wasn't really saying, oh, because his wife wants to get remarried. But be'ovei kochavim, and here's going to be an interesting halacha we're going to discuss. Im hayam mit kavein ein eduto edut. This is the big thing about edut of a non-Jew in general. It's called, okay, what we call Mesiach Lefi Tumo. Mesiach Lefi Tumo is when a non-Jew says something not for the intent of testifying. He's saying it as a matter of course. He's saying it because he's saying it about something else. And from that, we can infer what the truth is, right? If he talks about, I was supposed to go do work for this guy, but he died and I can't now, so we can believe him. But if he's coming to court to testify that this woman can get remarried, we can't take his testimony because we suspect that maybe he's lying. Okay, the non-Jews are suspect, but they're just saying something innocently, then they're not suspect we don't suspect them that they're lying. Okay, so we're going to get into that in the Gemara. Okay, first question of the Gemara. V'dilma lo azle, maybe the kids really aren't going to a hesped. So Amar Rav Yehuda, maybe they're saying they're going, but they're not really going, they're just saying. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, reread the Mishnah. It's deka amrei harenu ba'im milis bodu milik boritishponi. What the Gemara is suggesting is, maybe they were on their way to a hesped, but maybe the guy ended up surviving. In other words, they thought the guy was dead, but maybe the guy actually didn't die. As long as, we saw this before, with the woman testifying, I saw him, they buried him, right? As long as they didn't bury him, we don't necessarily have proof that he died. So what do they say? It's when they say that we're coming from having been at the hesped. So now we know he's buried, okay? And we buried him. V'dilma kamsa ba'alma shachivle va'askele al shmei. Maybe it was some animal that died, and the kids made a funeral for the animal and called him by the name of some guy, like as a joke, right? You know that people bury animals, so could be. Dika amre chen b'chen, right? And they said so and so and so and so. They called it by his name. So they say, Rabbana, sorry, that's the answer. Dika amre chen b'chen. It's when they come back from a funeral and they start telling you details and they say, and these rabbis were at the funeral and these eulogizers were at the funeral and they talk to you about details of the funeral, then you know they're telling the truth. But if they just say we're at the funeral of so-and-so, you have to be choshesh, maybe it was an animal that they called by his name and it wasn't really him. Okay. Okay, here we have a non-Jew. So now it depends whether he had kavan or not. Amr Shmuel, lo shanu ela shenitkaven lahatir. Aval nitkaven lahaid eduto edut. What does it mean, nitkaven? Nitkaven to matir the woman to remarry. But if he was just coming to give us testimony that a person died, that we can accept when there's no ulterior motive. If it's to dafka matir the wife, we had a similar thing like when the woman comes and says, I want my ketubah, my husband's dead, right? We don't really believe her because we think she's after the money. So if he says, I want to matir this woman, her husband's dead, that's a problem. But if he just says, I want to let you know this guy's dead, then we believe him. Hechi yadinan, Amar Rav Yosef, how do we know whether he's coming lahasiya ta'isha or not? So, Amar Rav Yosef, ba'al beitin v'amar ish ploni mei tasiyu et ishto, zeh nitkaven latir, just like I said, right? If he says, this guy died, let his wife get married, that's nitkaven latir. Meitstam, zeh nitkaven leidut. If he just says he died, that's nitkaven leidut, and it's acceptable. Itmar Nami, it's also said in the name of Rish Lakish. Amar Rish Lakish. Lo shanu elash nitkaven latir. By the way, just to point out, Shmuel and Rish Lakish are the same generation, just in different places. Shmuel's in Bavel, and Rish Lakish in Eretz Yisrael, they also had the same thing. Lo shanu elash nitkaven latir, aval nitkaven la'id eduto edut. He says the same thing. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says to him, lo kach hayam aseba oshaya berebi. Didn't this happen with Rabbi Oshaya berebi? She tiram im shmonim v'chamishaz kenim. Amar Lahem, right, so this case was, second. Assumption here. Right, and then Amar Lahem, Rabbi Yoshaya said to them, okay, they matured this woman by the testimony of these 85 skinim, I guess it was, right? Or in front of 85 skinim. One second. She trees, shenechlak im shmonim. The Rabbi Yoshaya disagreed with 85 skinim in this case. That's what they explain here. Okay, that there was a tikkun. There's a tikkun nuscha'ot. It's he trees, which means he argued with them. Okay, with 85 skinim, and Amar Lahem, he said to them, Lo shanu ela shenitkaven lahatir, avan nitkaven le'edut, lahaid edutcho edut. So basically, didn't Rabbi Yoshaya get up against all the rabbis and say, if he was nitkaven lahaid edutcho edut, below hotu lo chachamim, but chachamim didn't agree with him, okay? He went against his 85 skinim, and they didn't agree with him. So what do you see here? We shouldn't accept his testimony even if he was just nitkaven lahaid. So what do they say? Ela matnitin, Tekatane, but our Mishnah says, Ubove kochavim imayam etkaven enu duto edut, hechemishkachala, b'mesiach lefi tumo. So what are they, hechemishkachala. So Rabbi Rish Lakish says to him, if you're going to say that it doesn't work, so what does it mean, imayam etkaven enu duto edut? What are you talking about then? Nitkaven lahaid, right? Imayam etkaven, etkaven seems to mean lahatir etayisha, right? So what does he answer? Like, how could you ever find a case what does he answer? B'meisiach lefi tumo. In other words, if he's just saying, like I said before, right, he's just saying, stam, that the woman died, then, if you take Rabbi Yochanan, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? If he's mitkaven lahaid, right, then we don't accept his testimony. So then what case would we accept his testimony? So Rabbi Yochanan said, no, we'd accept it. If he just happens to say, we're shooting the breeze, and he says, by the way, did you hear that this guy died? You know, and he's not talking about it particularly for the purposes of Eidut, then it would be accepted, okay? But not in a regular case.
What are we so afraid of?
We're afraid, so I think, okay, what's in general, what are we afraid of with Eidim? That someone paid him off. So generally, when we have Psule Eidut, we have people who are suspect that they would take money. So I think that the general assumption is that an Ove Kochavim is not so straight and not so, you know, and he'll take money to, you know, they all fall into the Pasula Edu category. That's my sense. Okay. So now, what do we see? So Mesech Levitumo, like this case, Ki Ahi Dehava Ka'amar Va'azil, Man Ikabeh Chivai, Man Ikabeh Chivai. Okay, this non-Jew came. Now we're going to see a bunch of cases. Non-Jew came and said, who's from the house of Chivai? Who's from the house of Chivai? Shachiv Chivai, he's dead. Okay? Now that's just a regular case. He's not saying, I'm coming to court to testify. He's just saying, where's this guy's family? The guy died. Ve'ensibar Rav Yosef Litabitu. Okay, Rav Yosef said his wife could get married based on this guy's testimony. Another case. Hahu dehava ka'amar ba'azil, vaylela parasha zriza dehava bepumbedita deshachiv. Okay? Oy, chaval for this parasha's chariot rider. Who was Zariza, I assume he was a fast chariot rider that lived in Pupadita that died. Ve'enzibar Rav Yosef, okay? And Rav Yosef married him off. Ve'itema Rava Lidabitu, okay? Either Rav Yosef or Rava married off Lidabitu, his wife. Ha'udava Ka'amar Va'aziel, another guy, okay? Another non-Jew, went and said, Mi'i kabe chasa, tava chasa. Who's from the house of chasa? Chasa drowned. Okay, now chasa apparently was this big tzaddik. He was a big guy, you'll see. Rav Nachman relates to, there was a sudden death of Chasa, and his story with Rav Nachman is related in another context with some other details, but here we'll see this one. Am Rav Nachman Elokim, Achluk Bari L'Chasa, Oy, God, it's like a way of swearing, the fish ate Chasa. Midiburi to Rav Nachman, now from the fact that Rav Nachman said this, and that's what happened, the non-Jew said, who's in the house of Chasa? Chasa drowned. So Rav Nachman says, oh my God, the fish ate him up. So from the fact that he said this, what do they assume? That we can assume he's dead. So, Azla debitu dechasa beinsiba, velo amrulo velo midi. Okay, she got married and nobody stopped her. Amravashi shmamina, hada amurabana mayan chen lem sof, Ishto Asura. From here we can learn that when the rabbi said, Mayim Shein Lehem Sof, the wife is Asura, Hanemil Elechatchila, Aval Inasiv Lo Mafkina Lamina. Right? We can learn from her story, because she went and got married and nobody stopped her, that again, it's all Lechatchila, this halacha, but B'diyevet, if she were to have gotten married, nobody stops her. But Ika De'amre, there's a separate version of the story. The Ansibar Rav Nachman L'Debitu. Okay? In other words, Rav Nachman said she can go get married. And on what basis did he say that? And this is some halacha we saw before that Rav Ashi says we don't hold by. Amar chasagava rabbi ita. He was a great guy. Vim ita desali kala itle lemilta. Okay? Right? That he was a great guy. And it must be that if he had gotten out of the water, someone would have seen him. And we saw this with the Tzurva Merabana before. And therefore, that's why she can get married. But again, this line, which again, like I say, it's not clear who adds this line, but clearly there was an agenda of the Gemara to take away this halacha. Okay, again, you have to remember, the Gemara is made up of different levels. Words were added in different time periods, okay, even as late as until about the year 800, or the time of the Sfaraim. The Amoraim finished in the year 500, but later on people add. It's unclear whether this was added by them or not. Sometimes they were added as like little notes, which this looks like a little note added on the side that ultimately got incorporated into the text. And they say again, just like before, Velohi, Loshna Gavaraba, Loshna Lav Gavaraba, Di Evidin Lechatrila Lo. In other words, we don't let special, you know, we have no special treatment, preferential treatment for Talmidei Chachamim. But you can imagine also, we create this elitist society, which did exist to a certain extent. We have different halachot for Chaver and Ama Aretz, and, you know, and this one particularly was a tricky one to start making distinctions between people.
Well, they need this correction, because this whole Mishnah contradicts most of what we've learned till now. They're so strict about identification, and now this, you can declare someone dead by a rumor. It's basically a rumor. If people are talking in the street, if someone...
Well, they're not discounting not discounting this halacha. They're discounting the distinction between... Do we assume that if the guy got out, right, which nowadays you could say, maybe it doesn't apply to Talmidei Chachamim, but would apply to celebrities, or, right, that assumption is a known person, it would be known that he was still alive somewhere in the world.
If the women are talking in the streets.
Right, so that's a separate thing. That's this thing about women talking in the streets and...
It's very troublesome, so it sounds
right.
Like they need to...
Exactly. So this whole Mishnah, how it works with everything else is complicated. I agree. That's a separate thing. Not necessarily... They're not neutralizing this whole halacha. They're saying that people's testimony is accepted for this kind of thing. It just depends. As in this case, it was a guy saying he drowned. If it was him saying the guy is dead, that would be acceptable. If it's him saying the guy is drowned, but again, the halacha, sometimes there's some distinctions about how the halacha, whether you accept a non-Jew's testimony, if he says the guy died, or does he have to say, I saw them bury him? As to what extent do we accept his testimony? Is all, you know, they kind of combine the sugas and try to come up with halacha lamaaseh, how we do this. But it does seem to stand separately from this and somewhat contradict the things we saw before. But again, they said we came from his funeral. You know, then you can assume they buried the guy, right? So there, also here, it's not that we don't know where the body is. The assumption is this guy saw the guy die. And then, you know, can we assume again that he saw the guy fully die? So when it came to the case of water, well, again, we have the same problem. How does he know that he's really dead? But Rav Nachman thought it was okay. But then the Gemara or someone comments, oh, that's not good. You can't assume that just because you didn't see him that he's really dead. You know, it could have been also. Rav Nachman felt very strong ties to this guy and felt very connected to him. And it was this tragic death, and he wanted to matir his wife. So he did it, even though maybe it didn't 100% fit with the halacha. You know, you have to... There were definite strides made to try to make this work better. You know. Okay. Hahu oved kochavim to have a ka'amar le Yisrael, k'tol asfasta v'shadi l'chivai v'shabta. A non-Jew says to this guy, cut the fodder and give it to my animals on Shabbat. V'ilo katil nalach. K'te katil nal l'ploni bar Yisrael. Okay? If not, I'm going to kill you just like I killed so-and-so. Now, part of this story is quoted in the Yareg Val Yavor Sugya in Sanhedrin, which we'll get to, God willing, in a few years. Great sugya about, you know, if someone says, B'chalal Shabbos, otherwise I'm going to kill you, what do you do? But that's not our issue here. Our issue is what we're trying to find out. What does he say? I'm going to kill you just like I killed Ploni Almoni, okay, so and so. Now, Da'amrele, why did I kill him? Tamrile, I said to him, Bashali k'dera b'shabbat, v'lo bashali uktilte. Okay? So, just like I killed him, I told him, if you don't cook this for me, I'm going to kill you. Now, obviously, this guy was a missing guy. We didn't know what happened to him. So, Shama debitu, the wife heard him say this. V'atai l'kameda Abaye. Okay? So, what do you think Abaye is going to say to her? Can we assume he's dead or not? So, Shehita talta rigle. He waited. He pushed it off 3 regalim. Now, why regalim? Because the regalim were the times where all the rabbis got together, and he brought it up in front of the rabbis, and he didn't know what to say. He didn't know, can we believe this guy? Can we not? Amrala, you can see how much, I mean, first of all, poor woman, right, waiting all this time. On the other hand, the rabbis really deliberated. They didn't know what to do. Amrala Rav Adabar Ahava, Zila Kameja Rav Yosef, Decharif Sakina. He is sharp like a knife. Go to him. He's the guy. He's the go-to guy. Azla Kame, she goes before him. Pasha Mehamatnita. He learns it from this Mishnah. What does Mishnah say? Okay, this is a Mishnah from, it's a Tosefta in Demai. Okay, it's not a Mishnah. What does he say? It should say Matnita, not Matnitim. Ove kochavim shayam ocher perot bashuk. Okay, a guy was selling perot in the shuk. Vamar, a non-Jew. Vamar perot halalu shal orlahen, shal azekahen, shal neta revayahen. Azeka was a place that was known that they weren't makpid on halachot, I think of Shemitah or something, and therefore you'd have to worry. All sorts of things you had to worry about from the people in Azeka. So, all these things are forbidden foods, okay? So, what do you say? Do we assume they're forbidden or not? Can you buy them or not? What do they say? Lo amar klum. We don't accept his testimony at all. We can buy those fruits. Why? Lo nitkaven ela lahashpiach mekcho. He had an ulterior motive, right? What was his ulterior motive? Again, obviously, he wasn't necessarily selling only to a Jewish crowd. And the assumption was that these things would be good, like the first fruits of the tree, right? The third year, they're early, you know, it was like said to be better. Or Azeka, maybe they had good fruit produce, right? So he said it's from Azeka. So you don't have to necessarily assume. You could say he's doing it just for his sake. And what's the same thing here? Why did he say, just like I killed so-and-so, right? He's showing off. He wants to say, I'll kill you because I killed other people too. It doesn't necessarily mean he killed the guy. Okay? And therefore, they wouldn't matir her. Abi Yudin Ish Tzaydan Amar Ma'asebi Yisrael Ve'ovei Kochavim. Okay? There was a case of a Jew and a non-Jew. It sounds like a joke, right? There was a Jew, a non-Jew. Shalchu Baderech. They were walking. Uba Ovei Kochavim Ve'amar Chaval Al Yehudi Shayayimi Baderech Shemet. Shemet Baderech Ukvartiv. They're walking on the path, and then the non-Jew gets there, and he says to the people in the city, Chaval for the Jew I was walking with, who died on the way, and I buried him. Okay, here's, by the way, where they come up lahalacha, that maybe he has to actually say, I buried him. They actually make a distinction between whether he knew the guy or didn't know the guy. They say if he knew the guy, then he doesn't necessarily need to say, I buried him. Saying he was dead is enough. And if he didn't know the guy, then he'd have to say, and I buried him. Okay? V'siu ishto. Okay, they married his wife based on that. Okay, this was a collar, they say the prisoners would wear this collar around their necks, and I assume it had his name on it or something. I assume it's like dog tags. Okay, there was a collar b'nei adam shayu malchim l'Antiochia, ubal ve'kochavim achav v'amar chaval al kolar shabnei adam shemetu ukvartim. Okay, says chaval on here's the dog tags of these guys that died, and I buried them. V'siyu et nishotehem. Okay, and they let them marry their wives. V'shuv ma'aseh b'shishim b'nei adam shayu malchim l'karkom betar, u'ba'u ve'kochavim v'amar chaval al shishim b'nei adam shayu malchim b'derech betar shemetu u'kvartim. V'siyu et nishotehem. Okay, notice in all these cases he said, and I buried them. So because he says, and I buried them, then we can assume that he's telling the truth, right? Again, how is he saying it? Not his testimony. He's saying, I just came from this place. There were 60 guys who died on the way, right? And because of that,
60 guys,
and that's so I don't know if Hines Ukvartim. I think like they were all, we buried them. Whoever it is that was around.
If it's a group of people, it would be a shmua that more than one person would know.
Maybe he's coming from far away, and he happened to have made the long journey to there, but nobody else did. We saw also that case where there were, 10 people and with the guy who died, and his wife came and testified. That was the whole case where they matired Adol Pishto because they saw that nobody else came and testified. Like, just because everybody sees doesn't mean they're going to say, oh, I should go testify. People don't often, take initiative at that. Okay, new Mishnah. Me'idim la'or haneru la'or levana. If you say, I saw that he was dead by candlelight, or I saw from the moonlight, okay, where you might think, oh, it's not such great lighting, we accept it. U'misi'in al-pi batkol. Okay, what is this batkol? Okay, batkol, usually we think it's a heavenly voice. Here, they seem to explain, you could either take it that it's a heavenly voice, or you hear some voice that says, so-and-so died, and you don't know where the voice is coming from, and you don't know who said it, but somebody said it, we can accept it. Okay? So I think what Sherry was pointing out is that on the one hand, we saw all these cases where they're not really matir so much, and yet here the Mishnayot are definitely siding on the side that we're going to be very open to this.
Could be the criers. Remember we learned about those mourners, those crying things,
yeah.
They used to hire them to...
Right, the eulogizers.
That's the Batkol.
Oh, that maybe they're calling out.
They hear the voices of the
uh-huh. Spirit. Maybe, it could be. It's tough to know exactly what this is. Right, Rashi says, Shamu kol tso'ek et ploni me belo ru'u adam b'tzalmo. They didn't see the actual guy. We're going to see in the Gemara, they talk about what did they see. They saw some shadow. We'll get into it, okay? They're going to suspect maybe they were mazikin, shading. Okay, anyway, we'll get into it very soon. Maseh b'chad shamar rosh ahar, v'amar ish ploni ben ploni mimakom ploni met. Okay, they said, they heard this, right? They saw this guy standing on the Rosh Ahar, and he said so-and-so died. Halchu v'lo matzu sham adam. But then they went to find the guy, I guess, to question him further, right? To find further evidence, to understand what was it? Was it really him? Did he really die? Did you see him? But they couldn't find him. B'siu et ishto. Okay, they realized, look, this is again, if you have the facts and you have the people to testify and you can decide, oh, well, they saw him in a war and maybe the guy wasn't fully dead and you can try to figure out. Here, we kind of have a witness, but then he disappears. We can't find him, right? We heard a voice or we saw the guy on the mountain. So we allow him, since we did hear him say it, we can assume that the guy's dead and we can let his wife get married. B'shuv ma'aseh b'tzalmon, that's a place. B'echad sh'amar, ani ish ploni ben ish ploni, neshachani nechash, b'harei ani met. Okay, he said, I got bitten by a snake and I'm about to die. B'halchu v'lo hikiruhu, b'halchu v'yisi v'tishcho. And they went and they saw his dead body, but they couldn't recognize it. B'halchu v'yisi v'tishcho. They assumed, since he said, I got bitten by a snake and then he died, you know, they saw a dead body, they assumed that he was dead. I'm a Rav Shmuel. Tana, it says in a Braita, Beit Shammai Amrim, Ein Misi'in al Pi Batkol. Now we're going to see there's a Machloka Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. U Beit Hillel Amrim, Misi'in al Pi Batkol. You can marry based on a Batkol. My Kamashmalan, Matmichin Hi. Why are they bothering to tell us it's a Machloka Beit Shammai Beit Hillel? There's our Mishnah, and our Mishnah goes by Beit Hillel, and obviously. So what's the issue here? Ha Kamashmalan, De'imishtak Chastama, if you were to find a Stam source that says we don't marry al pi batkol, you should know that it's Beit Shammai and you can ignore it, basically. Okay, it's interesting. They went ad kedei kach, right? It was very important for them to prove that you could hold by this. So now they say, what if there was this guy who spoke and you saw him, right? But then you went to find him, the guy of Rosh Ahar, and you couldn't find him. So they say, v'dilma shade hava, maybe it was a shade. Okay, what do you call it?
A spirit,
right? Maybe it was a spirit and it wasn't real. Am Rav Yehuda, Am Rav, Shara'u lo d'mut adam. So now they say, right? They saw the figure of a man. So they say, inu nami damu. Right? In other words, the shadim sometimes appear as figures of man. So what do they say? D'chazu le bebua. They saw his shadow. So they say, inu nami lehi bebua. They also have shadows. So the answer, dechazulei bebua debua. They saw the shadow of a shadow. Vidilma leditu eit lebua debua. Maybe also Mazikin have a shadow of a shadow. Amar Rabbi Chanina says that Yonatan told me, who he was apparently known to know the facts about the spirits.
He was a demon.
You know, it's funny. I thought we had a case of Yonatan Shida. He came up when we had these sugyas about shadim. Bebua itle, bebua debua lately. Okay, shadim don't appear as in shadows of shadows. Vidilma, okay, so now they say Vidilma tsara havai, but maybe it wasn't a shade, okay? They're trying to, you know, say, who knows what this could be, right? Maybe it was a spirit, right? We have trouble, we've talked about this in the past about spirits, how we relate to this. Anyway, we don't have time now, but maybe it was the tsara of the wife saying it, and she wanted to mess her up, like we saw in the sugyas before. So
the
Tana
on the roof.
Right. Tana de Berabi Ishmael, Bishat Sakana Kotvivinotin Apa Pisha Emikirin. Okay, so now they say this follows the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, who says that when it's a chat sakana, if let's say this guy falls into a pit and is about to die, and you hear a voice kind of say, write my wife a get, we can do it, even though we don't know. Let's say a guy falls into a pit, and he says, I'm Yosef, and write my wife Rivka a get. We can believe him that he's Yosef, even without having proof that he's Yosef, and we can write a get to his wife Rivka. Okay, we'll go on, finish up the next Mishnah, and then we'll stop there. And the next Mishnah in Gemara. I'm Rabbi Akiva, kashiyaradati l'naharda la'ber shana. We actually saw this already. When I went to Naharda to do the Ibor Shana, matzati Nechemi ish beitli, amarli, this is actually really important. This is the moment when they decided that we're going to accept testimony of one woman. This was the case with the woman who had the 10 guys were in the fields, and he got killed. He got bitten by a snake, I think. And then based on that testimony, we allowed her to get remarried. So, Amar li shmati she'emisi in etai shah b'Eretz Yisrael. He said, I heard, right, that you don't marry women in Eretz Yisrael, a p'ed achad. Eli Yehuda ben Bava. The only Yehuda ben Bava is the only one who does it. V'numiti lo kena dvarim. And he said, that is the case. Oh, sorry, this wasn't the case of, maybe I'm wrong, maybe this wasn't the case with the woman. Anyway, he says, I heard that only Yehuda ben Bava does it in Eretz Yisrael. And I said to him, Rabbi Akiva says, that is the case. Amar li, Amor lahem mishmi, Nechemya Beit Li says, Atem yodim shamedina meshubeshet bagayasot. Right? You know that this place, we had two different explanations of what that meant, that there's a lot of army people, and maybe that means I can't come and tell you, or it means we're in a shat melchama, okay? But, and yet, mekublani mirabban gamliel azaken shemesin et haisha al pi eid echad. Okay? So we allow testimony of one witness. Here we see the continuation, which we didn't see there. Okay, so now he says, I want you to tell everybody that I heard from Rabban Gamliel as I came that that's the case. So Rabbi Akiva goes back and he tells everybody. And when he told everybody, people were happy. Right? In other words, oh, isn't this great? We found someone to go with him to support his claim. He remembered that there was this case where he wasn't matir people. Okay, in other words, he went back and retroactively he said, oh, you know, I possibly in this case differently, but now I'm going to allow it. And he matured all their wives based on one aid. Right, we're going to accept not just aid echad, but also hearsay. Okay, if you say, I heard that someone told me, and even mipi isha, and mipi shifcha, okay, even a woman, even a shifcha. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Amrim, Amos, Yinitai, Shal, Pied, Echad. Okay, we can't marry based on one witness. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Lo, Pi, Isha, Velo, Pi, Eve, Velo, Pi, Shifcha, Velo, Pi, Krovim. Rabbi Akiva accepted one aid, but he didn't accept all the others, all the other Psule aidim. Okay, this is very interesting historically, and maybe this answers some of Shari's question, which is, maybe what was going on in the Mishnah is that there were different approaches. And, you know, as usual, the Gemara tries to kind of bring them all in together. But it could be that early, you know, in the early Mishnah time period, it wasn't all so clear-cut. Not everybody was willing to do all these heterim. And that's why this story is like a big story. Because Rabbi Akiva says, I went there and they taught me that Rabban Gamliel is king. Rabban Gamliel then, not Hazaken, right, the younger one, he now changes his policy. He matures all these women. And then it's unclear, we'll see, they're going to ask some questions about Rabbi Akiva. Here, we'll start in the Gemara. V'sava Rabbi Akiva al pi isha lo. How could he hold al pi isha lo? V'hatanya, doesn't it say in a braita? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, omer mishum Rabbi Akiva, ishana emenet la vigita, mi kavachomer. We allow a woman to bring her own get based on a kavachomer. What's a kavachomer? Umana shim shamru chachamim e nemanim lomar me pa'ala, nemanot la vigita hem. Zo shana emenet lomar me pa'ala, e no din shana emenet la vigita nashim, gita. So, now, they're saying, right, Nashim, wait, so one second, there's one thing I have that here. Nashim Shamu Chachamim. Right, sorry. The Nashim Shamu Chachamim are not Ne'emanot, right, but what is this? We learned this before. The five women that can't say he's dead, the Tzara, the Yivama, all those women, right? What do we say? They are ne'emanim to bring a get. Remember the Mishnah there said, what's the difference between the get and saying the husband's dead? That's because they have a kshtar in their hand. The ketav is made. And yet, right, so the nashim, the chachamim said, are ne'emanim lomar me'pa'ala, are ne'emanot la'vigitehen. So, of course, a woman that can say, my husband died, should be allowed la'vigiteh nashim. Okay, so now, Nashim Shamru Chachamim Hudula Mehemna, but Ishaba Alma Mehemna. What does he say here? A woman is Naamanet, right? And in our Mishnah, what did Rabbi Akiva say? We can't accept testimony of a woman. So how can you follow Rabbi Akiva? And our Mishnah says, right, Lo Pi Ishav, Lo Pi Eved. But in this other Braita, he says, only the five women are Naamanot to say that the husband, the guy died, but any other woman is allowed. So what happens? So what are the answer? Lo kasha kan kodim shechzigu kan lachar shechzigu. It went through a change, right? In the beginning, people weren't matir, and over time, Rabbi Akiva turned around and he accepted this. So there was a real transition here, okay? And I think what's interesting about this, and we'll see this more tomorrow when Seth does the shir about the real cases, is that all these sugyas over they went through changes. It looks, sometimes they look very cut and dry, and people say, no, we can't be matir. Yes, we can't be matir. We can matir in this situation, in that situation. And it starts in the time of the Mishnah, where even then there's different opinions. Do we allow a woman? Do we allow other psulim? Do we allow Eid Echad, right? First they allowed Eid Echad. Once they allowed Eid Echad, then they allowed women, and then they allowed other psulim. And it overwent a transition. And then, right, and then it depended, though, in what cases they allowed it, and it was very dependent on certain things. And even that overwent transitions over time. And we're going to see tomorrow how they matured other things like 9/11, where you might have thought not so clear cut because we don't have a body, and right, and all these cases that we saw in the Mishnah even, right? If someone just says the guy's dead, well, then that's enough. But how do you know that he really saw? Or ideally, you know, there's also the ideal and there's the less than ideal. L'chatchila, yes, b'di'evit, right? L'chatchila, lo, b'di'evit, ken. What if she already got married? Then maybe we'll say we'll accept. It. Or what if, yes, ideally, Mayim Shein Lahem Sof, we're going to treat as Mayim Shein Lahem Sof, and, you know, maybe the guy's alive. On the other hand, when you have a real life situation in front of you and you have to deal with it, maybe we're going to, you know, and a lot of time goes on, not like the Rabbi Akiva and Rabban Gamliel story where he shows up on the scene, but maybe as time goes on, he doesn't show up on the scene, it becomes more and more clear as time goes on that this guy's not coming back. You know, the rabbis tried to find ways to allow people to function with these complicated situations, even though maybe certain things are a little more clear-cut in the Gemara that they're not allowed, and yet they found ways to allow it even through the Gemara. And that's, you know, unfortunately, we don't always have time in our shiur to get into it, but at least tomorrow we'll touch on it at the scene. Okay. That's it for today.